Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
It's a big world.
Oh, wow! It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk. Reward. Opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to our world. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Take down our number and join us, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, being an independent worker, being an entrepreneur, making a living. We talk about all these things, work and jobs and business ownership and the economy. We see these things through the lenses of our Christian faith and try to get to the scriptural truth of those matters. 877-933-2484 is our number. We're open for business with your questions and comments. My question for you in this episode of our program, very straightforward, very simple. Can business ever be compassionate? Is there any such thing as compassion in business, would you say? We know that the scriptures, as we look to the writings, what are oftentimes referred to as the Pauline or Pauline epistles, the letters to the early Christians written by the Apostle Paul, he commends us and admonishes us to run the race so as to win. And in competitive marketplaces, there are winners and there are also losers. And there are those who do extremely well and those who do very, very badly, and there's everybody in between. That's kind of the way a competitive economic marketplace works. But can business ever be compassionate? We're kind of in this era, at least here in the United States of America, not so much in other parts of the world, but we've slumped into this era here in the U.S. where we think the competition, at least in the marketplace and work and in business, if it's a competitive marketplace that's somehow uncompassionate, it's unfair, it's just wrong for anybody to not do poorly. We should all have the same amount of everything. That's the only way it's fair. Now, interestingly enough, if we don't look at a football game that way, right? We don't go to a football game and think, well, you know, the referees will just figure out who deserves which points. And if one team has too many points on their side of the scoreboard, we'll just take some of their points away and give it to somebody else. That's not the way competitive sports works in our society. But we've kind of, I fear at times the church has succumbed to this very secular idea, this very secular mindset that human achievement is just wrong. And we need to stop you from being too successful and transfer some of your success to somebody else. I'm here to challenge you, though, with this question. And even with the references to the Apostle Paul in mind, and I'll go back and look at some of the other scriptures from the Old and New Testament later this hour about this issue. But can business ever be compassionate? Tell me what you think about that, and we'll get to the phones a little bit later this hour. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Now, coming up later this hour, yet again, we will also revisit the issue of the freelance services industries. That's my term of art, and I think it's befitting. Fortunately, I've seen and read some op-eds from other people who are sort of adopting and utilizing that terminology. But that's my term to describe websites, web hubs, that actually connect service providers with people who need their work. For example, probably one of the most high-profile of the freelance services industries and one of the most high-profile players in that marketplace is Uber.com, U-B-E-R, Uber.com. That's an online portal that connects people who can share a ride with people who need a ride across town and are willing to pay for it. You got a car, you're able to transport people across the town or the city that you live. in, we'll go to Uber.com, see if they've got operations where you live, and you can sign up and be a rideshare provider. It's not a job. It's not employment. It is, for all intents and purposes, being a business owner, and people are making a living doing this in some cases. I think it's a very positive development. It's a great entrepreneurial development here in the U.S. It's taking hold around the world. Airbnb.com is another one. That's where people rent out a room in their house to people who are coming into town visiting and such. And that's another way people are making extra money on the side. And I'm just crazy enough. Some people think this is wacky stuff. I don't think it is. I believe that the church here in America needs to begin thinking about these kinds of entrepreneurial sorts of ventures. And we need to be sharing with one another in our churches, educating one another about these kinds of ventures, because we don't have enough job creation going on in our country right now. Really, there's not enough job creation going on anywhere in the world, except maybe North Dakota. If you're listening on our Fargo, North Dakota affiliate, well, your economy is booming. Maybe you don't need more job creation, but most of the rest of the world does. And as followers of Christ, I believe we can be solution-oriented people. We can bring real-life solutions to people's real-life problems if we are aware of the opportunities that are going on around us. That's really the big reason why we do this show. But anyway, we'll talk more about the freelance services industries a little bit later this hour. Some very interesting developments there. And again, my question for you, can business ever be compassionate? Or is business just always kind of a dog-eat-dog, dirty, nasty, grimy sort of enterprise that we'd really prefer if there were no businesses, but we kind of need them, and some people just have to do a business. That's what they're meant to do, so we'll put up with them for a while. Which do you think it is? Can business ever be compassionate, or is it just all bad stuff? 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. In just a few moments, I'm going to play you part of an interview that I did with a gentleman who runs a business that is incredibly compassionate. In fact, I'm so excited to tell you about this. I'll get to it in just a few moments. It's a small business in the state of Florida that has a workforce made up of almost entirely autistic adults. Now, the unemployment rate among autistic adults in the United States of America is about 90%. Staggering. If you know anybody who is a parent who has raised an autistic child into adulthood, there are legitimate fears in the hearts and souls of parents of autistic children that their children will never become independent. Never be able to live independently on their own, never be able to make a living for themselves. But a small business owner, an entrepreneur in the state of Florida, has created an entire business deploying the work and the labor of autistic adults. So that's very exciting. I'll get to that in just a few moments. First, I want to talk about a gentleman who, quite frankly, I probably haven't had adequate appreciation for over the years. And it's Bono, the lead vocalist from the super cool rock band U2. And when I say super cool, I just, you know, the U2 guys are just too cool for me. They're kind of my generation of music, although they do have a new album out, and we're going to play some musical excerpts from that just a little bit. But Bono certainly has identified himself here in the U.S. and I think around the world as a very legitimate and a very serious, devout evangelical Christian. As a matter of fact, he did this very very intriguing interview on the Focus on the Family broadcast last year, talking about the impact that evangelical Christians in America have had with solving problems of hunger and AIDS and other kinds of global concerns around the world. It was a very striking, a very thoughtful interview. Jim Daly at Focus on the Family did that interview with Bono. And I've really come to appreciate this man over the years. There have been a lot of rock stars and people who have made lots of money in the American and European economies, selling motion pictures and DVDs and CDs and downloads. You know, they're artists, they're actors, actresses, rock stars, whatever. Then a lot of them, especially from the United States, but even from Europe as well, they make millions of dollars for themselves selling their products. That is what commercially successful artists do. They create products and we buy them. They make millions of dollars for themselves, and then they just jump on the pop cultural bandwagon, and they bash on America, and they try to insist that somehow socialism, just taking money from wealthy people and giving it to the impoverished people of the world, somehow that's a fix for poverty, and they don't look at the details. Bono is not one of them. Bono is a very, very intelligent, thoughtful guy, as I've come to understand him over the last 4 or 5 years or so is all. And Bono has been very instrumental in kind of using his platform as a entertainer of worldwide stature to try to really encourage people in the ways of positive, constructive ideas. And just a few days ago, Bono was a guest lecturer at Georgetown University's Business School. At Georgetown University in the Washington, D.C. area, who's speaking to MBA graduate students in business, one of the top business schools in America. And he had the audacity, crazy as it may sound, to speak about capitalism. Now, capitalism, that C word, may be a very offensive, dirty word to you. You may think of capitalism as being something that's based on greed and selfishness, and because of capitalism, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. None of those things are true if we really truly look at the facts, if we really truly understand what the principles of capitalism are about. I co-authored a book about capitalism. It's called The Virtues of Capitalism. It was published on a very esteemed Christian publishing label called Moody Publishing, and quite frankly, I think Moody Publishing, I'm not bashing on them, but I think they just gave up trying to market the book because it was so poorly received by evangelical Christians in America. Capitalism is an offensive word, and I want to encourage you, if it is an offensive word for you, to take a second look. Maybe check into the book. You can find it at thevirtuesofcapitalism.com, or you can get to our program website at austinsbigworld.com and order it there. Very inexpensive. Amazon has a great price on their electronic download of the book. But if you don't take me seriously on this, perhaps you'll find a place in your heart with these remarks from Bono. Here he is talking about business to business graduate students, and he's talking about business as a transformative force in our world to lift people out of poverty. If the gospel does not call us to care for the impoverished, I don't know what it does, but we need to have the proper ideas in mind. Here's Bono at Georgetown University a few days ago. Listen to this.
Imagine for a second this last global recession, but without the economic growth of China and India. Without the hundreds of millions of newly minted middle-class folks who now buy American and European goods. Imagine that. Think about the last 5 years. Rockstar preaches capitalism. Wow. Sometimes I hear myself and I just can't believe it. But commerce is real. That's what you're about here. It's real. Aid is just a stopgap. Commerce, entrepreneurial capitalism takes more people out of poverty than aid. Of course, we know that.
It's Bono speaking to the business students at Georgetown University. Commerce is real. Aid is just a stopgap. I want to suggest to you today that in very subtle ways here in the United States of America, if you're listening in Canada, I think there's a similar issue in your nation, although I think it's worse here in the United States, quite frankly. We have succumbed to this notion that somehow placing expectations on able-bodied individuals, expecting them to work, is somehow a lack. It's illustrative of a lack of compassion. The scriptures could not be more clear that indeed, for those of us, and again, if we're talking here about individuals who have disabilities, who have health concerns, maybe even mental functioning limitations, that's a different deal altogether. We need to have a heart full of compassion and a safety net for those individuals. And we do, and we should forever, a civil society should forever have those mechanisms in place. But as we look to the scriptures, look at the writings of the Apostle Paul, to, for example, his understudy, Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:8. The Apostle Paul is telling the early Christians, vis-a-vis Timothy, hey, you need to work and to provide for yourself. You need to live independently. Live as I do. Paul, after all, was, I think, probably safe to say, a small business guy. He was an entrepreneur. He was a tent maker, right? Oftentimes in the church, we speak about having a tent-making ministry. I do this thing on the side and make money so I'm not a financial burden to other people when I go out and serve the church and minister and such. The Apostle Paul illustrated that with his life. And he tells Timothy, and speaking primarily to men, guys, wake up and smell the French roast here on this one. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, the man who refuses to work when he's able to and refuses to provide for himself and his dependents, he is as though he has lost his faith. That's pretty powerful stuff. I'm not talking here, again, about the individual who is in earnest trying to provide for himself and his dependents, trying to find a job. I'm not talking about the person who has a chronic unemployment problem because of a health concern or a lack of job availability. If there's a lack of job availability holding back a man or a woman, a young person, older person in your church, why in the world aren't we talking about entrepreneurship to enable them to help themselves? There's Bono, the worldwide rock star, saying, "We want to lift other nations out of poverty. Let's teach them about business and commerce and capitalism. Stop just offering handouts. Let's teach people how to be independent." I want to suggest to you today, as I always do here on this program, this needs to be a topic of conversation in our churches, like starting like yesterday or last month or 5 years ago. We can't get started with this quickly enough. Again, my question, can business ever be compassionate? You tell me what you think about that. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll get to your calls in just moments. Also, later this hour, you'll meet a general manager of a small business that has a staff comprised almost entirely of autistic adults. You want to talk about transforming lives? Wow. Wait till you hear about this. It's all coming up. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Don't go anywhere.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. On the road to economic recovery, and we're headed towards your future. Now back to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Why, that sounds like the voice of Bono right there. This is actually a brand new song from U2. I was just speaking of Bono, the Christian social activist, and one that actually makes sense a few moments ago. Thanks for rolling that out. Aaron McIntyre on the other side of the glass-enclosed nerve center here at Faith Radio. Thanks for finding that. I haven't heard that very much, but we're not opposed to introducing new products here. Here on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, 877-933-2484. That's our number. Can business ever be compassionate? We need to have this conversation within the church, and let's get it started here on this program. Dave is up next in Watertown, Minnesota. Dave, welcome to the program, sir. Thanks for holding.
Well, you're welcome, Austin. Hey, I want to, first and foremost, each one of us is called to be a worshiper of God. Like Luther said, I don't care if you shovel manure, wash diapers, or run IBM. If you got the plan of God, life is glorious.
I agree. So what would you say about my question?
Well, sir, absolutely. We're, you know, a Christian, God is love. He's our Father. We act like our Father. We love. We're a steward of everything. We're a steward of our own lives, our discipline, our resources. And we're crazy about our neighbor because there's only one each of every one.
I'm with you. Now, I just want to make sure that, and I'm saying this sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I just want to make sure that we're on the same page historically. We both would agree, I'm sure, that IBM came a long time after Martin Luther, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 500 years or so, I'm thinking. Anyway. But still, brother, lots of diaper washers and manure shovelers yet today.
I'm with you, sir. Thank you. Dave, I appreciate the call very much. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Great to have you listening on Faith Radio 90.7 FM. I had to, he just strung Luther and IBM all in one sentence. I don't hear that very often, so I had to chide him a little bit. He's right. It's 500-600 years, maybe, something like that. 877-933-2484 is our number. There is this richness, what Dave is getting at here. There is a richness from church history and our Christian heritage. I understand that as evangelical Christians, we look to the scriptures and we look at the Apostle Paul. We look at the other authors of the scriptures, both the Old and New Testament. We look at Father Abraham from the Old Testament. We look at the disciples. We look at the followers of Christ back in the day, those who were right there with Jesus as he walked the earth. We look to them and we say, that is where we derive what we know about Christ today. We look to the canonized scriptures, if you will. But the church fathers, if you will, down through the centuries, Martin Luther included, the great reformer who began what we call the Reformation that led to Protestantism. Martin Luther had a great wisdom. And I do believe one of the common strands that we see from even the early writers of Scripture down through the modern day, and maybe up and until our modern day, is an understanding among Christians that work is the outworking. Labor itself is the outworking of our very souls. It is the outworking, the emulation, the exemplification of the skills and the talents and the capacities that God has uniquely endowed us with. And it is an absolutely necessary human functioning. I think we need to get back to that. Even as Dave brings up the name Martin Luther, we need to get back to that kind of ancient wisdom. Can business be compassionate? That's my question for you. 877-933-2484. More of your calls on the way. Also, you'll meet the manager of a business that is staffed up and runs a competitive business with autistic adults on his payroll. This and more coming up.
This is the show for business owners of today and tomorrow. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
And I'm so glad you are. Honored to be with you every weekend at this same time on this great radio station. You can always find our archived program audio on our network website, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And our program website for more information about the subjects that we address here. It's austinsbigworld.com. austinsbigworld.com. We call it Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. That's me. Honored to be with you. Our number 877-933-2484. It's high time we have this conversation in the church. Can business ever be compassionate? I believe indeed it is when it's appropriately and properly managed. And fortunately, there's some very high-profile voices and some great leaders in our world who are stepping up. At a time of, I mean, there's economic chaos all over the world right now. It's likely to get worse, quite frankly. But fortunately, some wise people are stepping up and saying, instead of just giving a person a fish and feeding them for a day, let's teach them how to fish so they can become more self-sufficient. It transforms nations. It transforms individuals, families. I think the church should be about that transformation. How about you? Can business be compassionate? 877-933-2484. Sharon is up next in Sioux Falls. Sharon, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. The first thought that hit me is probably not the answer you're looking for. I'm being very practical as a part owner of a business here. I am compassionate when I share bonus money with my associates. That being that I don't think people realize that bonus money comes from the bottom line profit. So instead of taking all that money for myself, we split that among the employees. I think another thing that, and a lot of this is driven by our Christian faith, where we learn to share with others and to give a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, sick days, and disability pay. All of that comes from the employer's pocket. Family leave for, 9 weeks? It keeps changing. But, yes, so all of those things come from profits, and that is being compassionate instead of saying, no, we'll just keep that all for ourselves. Now, obviously, I know that some of this is compulsory by law, but on the other hand, we must look at it for what it is. What about also the community involvement, like cleaning up the litter on the streets and joining forces to do that, and maybe Christmas caroling at the developmentally disabled home? I think that those things need to be considered as being compassionate. And frankly, we didn't think twice about being compassionate because our Christian faith teaches that it might be a little bit more difficult if you're not a person of faith.
I think that's right. I think that's right. And the notion that somehow compassion is just giving somebody a gift. Some people need to be gifted. There's nothing at all wrong with gifting things to people. But the notion that somehow compelling people, expecting people to work and to earn and to be independent is lacking compassion, I believe that's a very unbiblical, very secular idea. Right from the get-go. It's all over our culture, I believe, but I think it's a very unscriptural idea right from the start. It sounds like that's kind of where you're headed to. You're thinking the same thing, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And the millennials love to have things for free. They don't want to pay for a $1.99 app. They really want things for free, and there is a growing expectation of a socialism. You have, and I need, therefore you owe me, and you should give this to me. I had someone come into my home and just point at something I had two of and said, if you're not using that, can I have that? And, of course, you know, we're supposed to give when people ask, but I don't want to be an enabler. So along with what you're saying, I would agree that that there is this kind of discordant nature thing going on in the nation, and that I'm all for giving a bonus. When people work hard, they should be compensated properly. But people need to realize that that is a sharing of profits and that that is compassionate.
Yep, I'm with you. Sharon, thanks a bunch for the call. Great to have you with us. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. My question, can business ever be compassionate? We'll get back to more calls coming up in just a few moments. I want to play an excerpt of an interview that I did. It was a few days ago. There is a business in the city of Parkland, Florida. I'm not even sure exactly what region of the big state of Florida Parkland is in. It's called the Rising Tide Car Wash. And it was started by an entrepreneur named John Dieri. And Mr. Dieri, he and his wife, they have three sons, I believe, one of whom is autistic. And John Dieri, the entrepreneur, has the skills and the talents and the capacities to create business ventures that work and that are successful and profitable, things that employ people and such. He got to thinking, how can I create some sort of business that will give my son an opportunity not just to get a free fish, to use the metaphor, but a business that will teach my son how to fish and become self-sufficient. That's what Rising Tide Car Wash amounted to. And interestingly enough, they've got, I believe, 45 staff members in total at this one car wash, 38 of them all are autistic. I got on the phone just a few days ago with Kevin Wolnick. He is the general manager of the Rising Tide Car Wash. I want you to listen to this. Imagine, as you listen to this man, imagine if the church thought this way about business, about entrepreneurship, and about work. And if we recognize the power, the transformative power that can transpire when we teach people to work. I started off my conversation with Kevin by saying, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Busy day today there at the wash?
Every day is pretty much a busy day here.
Uh-huh. Very cool. Listen, before we get specifically into the very intentional employing of people who otherwise struggle with some disabilities, tell us about Rising Tide Car Wash. Tell us about the company that owns it, how it got started. It seems to have a very unique beginning altogether, but tell us the background.
So the Dieri family I've known for, probably about 10 or 11 years now. And originally when I had moved down to Florida, Rising Tide was merely an idea, and honestly a crazy idea. John and Tom really went against industry standard. They looked into a lot of different businesses on how they could employ Tom's brother, John's son, Andrew, and other kids like him in the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And the car wash seemed like it would be a really good fit, very detail-oriented, very process-driven. They took a lot of analytical data, a lot of studying, a lot of surveys. They actually rented a car wash.
Mm-hmm.
Just to do a beta. They started out with a test group, both men and women inside the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them passed with flying colors. and the ones that didn't just progressed a little bit slower than the others.
That is fascinating, the way you're describing a beta test. They rented out an existing car wash just to see if their business model would work.
Well, John says it all the time. The worst thing that we can do, or that you can do for anybody, especially if they have a disability, is offer them a lifeline and then take it away.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of them renting the actual car wash out and testing it and seeing if it was work, if it would work, instead of just putting a few million, I don't know if any of them have car washes, but they're not cheap. But instead of putting a few $1 million into a business that could potentially fail,
right,
it was actually to test this model, see if it works, see if these guys can actually do it, before we actually really launch this. Because then what? You buy a car wash, we hire 30, 40 kids with autism, and then we have to tell them it's over, it's done, closing up shop, and then we sell it. So there was some real, sincere emotion that went behind it. They weren't just looking to create a business. They were looking to create a lifeline for both these kids and their families. 90% unemployment in adults with autism. So there's pretty much nothing.
You continually, repeatedly use this term, Kevin, people in the autism spectrum. You're using that term very, very, that terminology very intentionally, the autism spectrum. Tell us about that.
Well, as of this year, I believe the CDC says that 1 in 68 children United States are born within the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there is a range with that between higher functioning and lower functioning. Most of our guys, if not all of them, are towards the higher functioning end of the spectrum. You have Asperger's, you have your typical autism. Sometimes you have a mix of both. I hate to classify it just because it is very broad.
Sure.
But our guys, the thing is, we're not marketing disability employment. We're not selling sympathy. We don't consider it a disability at all. We consider it a competitive advantage. These guys they have a tight internal frame. It's very hard for them to communicate their wants and their needs. And when they work in a car and we teach them the same process and it's broken down into a certain number of steps and it's split between driver's side and passenger side, and the passenger side doesn't have to be verbal with the customer, it gives them the same feeling of success over and over again, just doing their job, just having some sort of meaningful task to complete. And as they progress and do the same job over with repetition,
mm-hmm.
they grow. And some of them grow at an exponential rate. We have kids who, when they started, they barely passed training, and they're on their way to becoming actual managers, aftercare managers, where they can oversee and help train other guys in the autism spectrum.
Right. When you mentioned a few moments ago that when you put an autistic person to work there at Rising Tide Car Wash, you said they're very detail-oriented people. They may have the communicative challenges that you're describing, Kevin, but they really hone in on the detail. Well, gosh, I'm thinking, who better to do auto detailing, which is really kind of what you're getting at here in many cases, than a detail-oriented person? This just seems to be almost a very natural fit. Is that kind of what your philosophy there at Rising Tide?
Exactly. The guys also, they find a real feeling of comfort in doing the same process over and over again. For the most part, none of these guys had jobs ever. None of them had really ever done or completed anything that they have found meaningful. So the fact that they can master a task, even though they're following the same process over and over and over again, with anyone else, a person like you or myself, if we went to work every single day and wiped down a car with a red rag and then did windows with a blue rag and then we vacuumed and then we did tire shit, if we did that same thing over and over again, it would drive us crazy. That's why people quit their jobs now, because we're always looking for the next best thing.
Sure.
These guys, they find comfort in that routine, because they're able to do it faster and stronger, and they get better. And because they see other guys progressing amongst them and learning how to shampoo a seat or learning how to do leather treatment or learning a buff wax, they want to be better. So it really gives them the opportunity to open their mind and expand their horizons and step outside their comfort zone, which normally they wouldn't find anywhere else.
Yeah, no, this I hear you. I get it. Kevin Womack, he's the general manager at Rising Tide Car Wash, a small business in the city of Parkland, Florida. They have an established track record of success with a workforce that is, by and large, autistic. What would you say to other business owners who are listening to this going, you know, I have a heart of compassion here. I love this. This is great. But, man, I can't take risks here. I got to make sure my business is competitive. You folks are competitive. You're doing it. What do you say about that?
Honestly, it's not an easy road to take. It's the general conception of people with disabilities, there's a fear behind it. There is, as much as it hurts to say it, is that people think that these guys are dumb. They think that they're not capable of doing everyday tasks, and it's just the exact opposite. I come from the restaurant industry. I come from the service, and anyone who's worked in a restaurant knows that the people that you work with are filled with excuses. I have a flat tire. I broke up with my boyfriend. I have stuff to do with school. People are just kind of passing through, and these guys, there's so much loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much sincere passion for the job, and they love what they do. They love their company. I never, ever, ever have to worry about one of my guys being late. I rarely ever have to worry about these guys calling in sick. It's I understand that most people would have a concern, and disability employment isn't exactly, the main thing right now. It's not exactly the green movement, but these guys, they're our biggest advantage. They really are. They do an incredible job. They love to come to work, and they really enjoy what they do.
This is not a business of benevolence. This is not something that you're doing just to transform the world and transform individual lives and families, although I've got to believe you are in the process. But this is competitive business for you and your colleagues, Kevin. This is good business. It makes sense. That's what I'm hearing.
We're 0.9 miles away from one of the best car wash operators in the country. So the fact that we're doing so well and growing as fast as we are, it really shows that we can compete with serious industry professionals. This is not an easy job. This is manual labor, long hours, in the Florida sun, in the summertime.
Yep.
It's 110 degrees in humidity. So these guys, it's no joke. This is real hard work, and they're better men because of it.
They're better men because of it. Whew. Wow. That's transformative. What if the church embraced the ideas that Kevin Woldak from the Rising Tide Car Wash in Florida is talking about here? I want to thank Kevin Woldak again for his time. Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484. How would you answer our question after having heard that story? And by the way, if you want to see that full story in detail, get over to our program website, austinsbigworld.com. It's on the blog. My question for you, can business ever be compassionate? We'll come right back. Get more of your calls next. Don't go away.
Small business drives our economy, and that's why we're talking about it. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. The economy is terrible and there's no work available? Well, apparently we didn't get the memo. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Once again, the voice of Bono. We're rolling in some music from Bono and U2 in light of his comments about the transformative power of business, lifting impoverished nations out of poverty, and really kind of hinting at the role of the church in that. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. My question for you, can business ever, ever be compassionate? Steve is next in Fridley, Minnesota, listening to us on Faith 90.7 FM. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my call today. I love this show. I hear so many times from the church that business and profit are necessary evil at best.
Mm-hmm.
All over in Proverbs, there's a couple places, Proverbs 11:1, where it says, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. I got a call coming in, sorry about that. A scale would have been the equivalent of a cash register of the day. And the worst use of the word delight is really important here. God didn't say the scale was something he'll tolerate. The cash register in that day was something he delighted in.
That's very interesting. Now, you're drawing from the book of Proverbs. You're quoting from Proverbs, as I understand it.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. And I just want to, you're getting at something very important here. I want to make sure we're understanding this, Steve. You're saying that commerce, by its very nature, commerce was something that was blessed of God, even in the era of the Old Testament. Is that where you're going with this?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. It sounds like you experience some of the same frustration and concern that I do, that the church today has kind of lost sight about that.
Right, exactly. I hear that quite a lot.
Yeah. Steve, thanks for holding. I'll let you get to that other call. I hope you can catch up with that person. Thanks very much. He was holding for quite some time, and I appreciate you. Glad you were able to get through on our phones here on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. You know, and to that end, there is a nonprofit group, a fairly high-profile nonprofit ministry, I would say, called Proverbs 31 Ministries. Proverbs 31 Ministries. And that is a ministry outreach organization targeting women, and there's much written about and much critique and analysis offered about the woman characterized in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. Who was this woman? And look at all the virtue and goodness that emulates from her. And I would challenge you, if you were, whether or not you're familiar with Proverbs 31 Ministries, and I don't know a whole lot about them, quite frankly. I'm familiar with them. I've looked at their website. I've read some of their material. I would challenge you, however, to go read the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. What did that woman do? There are Bible scholars who say, well, that wasn't an actual individual person, but God had allowed that scripture to be written in such a way that it was kind of this metaphor, and the woman personified godly virtue. I think all of that is true. I think that's probably the case. But read what the woman did. She was a woman of the marketplace. Yes, she was a wife. She had children. She raised a family. But she was also involved in commerce, selling her wares in the marketplace, serving the needs of others, providing food and services and those kinds of things. She was a businesswoman in a very elementary, very old world sort of way. And we seem to kind of ignore that oftentimes in our modern day readings and interpretations of such things. But again, to Steve's point, he brings up something very relevant and pertinent to our lives today in this conversation from the book of Proverbs. Indeed, business can be compassionate. Sure, it can be in environments where greedy, selfish, self-serving individuals pillage and manipulate and abuse those under them. But it doesn't have to be that way. And as we've talked about earlier this morning, even on this very weekend where this terrible, terrible earthquake has devastated the small and relatively impoverished nation of Nepal, in the coming days and weeks and months, there's going to be a whole lot of talk about how does the world help rebuild this country of Nepal that's been leveled in this earthquake. Bear in mind that when you teach a person to fish, you teach and empower somebody to become self-sufficient. That is the ultimate in compassion, not just merely giving them aid. Aid is a necessary and good stopgap. It's not a lifestyle. Thanks for listening. I am Austin Hill. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, a production of Hill Communications, LLC. All rights reserved. I'll see you next weekend. In the meantime, get over to austinsbigworld.com and visit our network carrier, myfaithradio.com. Have a great week ahead. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. For more information about this, you can visit the Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business program page on myfaithradio.com.